Top Series 1 baseball has released, but should collectors be worried? Are the high print runs indicative that we are now in another junk wax era? We'll tell you what we think now. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another Cards on the Table, and happy day after Top Series 1 release day, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Look, it's been a popular product. It's been flying off of our shelves here at Cards HQ, but with it comes concern. Because according to Topps Production BB on Twitter, guys, the print runs, they're pretty high. We're thinking that over 900,000 of each base card is out there, almost a million. And remember when people were going crazy about how there were a million of the 1989 Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck cards printed? Well, it seems like we might have about a million of each of these base cards in Top Series 1 printed this year as well, according to the math, again, done by Topps Production BB on Twitter. Although this isn't actually new, because the last couple of years, we've been around a million, sometimes a little bit above a million in runs, print runs, supposedly on these base cards. But if you go back to, you know, 2019, 2020, the print runs back then were much lower. They were about half, or actually less than half, of what it seems like the print run is this year. Add in new parallels, extra parallels, a very long checklist to keep up with. And I have to ask you guys, are we back in the junk wax era, and is this trouble for collectors? Teapot, I'm going to start with you today.
I'm not concerned at all about print runs on this product. They haven't gone nuclear. They actually seem to be a little bit down from last year, which is, you know, maybe a good thing. But there's demand for the product. Like you said, people want it. I'm planning to get a hobby box. People on our team have been ripping it. Times have changed. There are more people in the hobby. There's more people who like opening product. Breakers, obviously, we know exist. There's a lot of demand for it. The good news is, you still have parallels that have lineage. You still have the golds that are serial numbered to the year of, you know, of every year, 2023, 2024, et cetera. You still have the blacks. You still have the clears numbered to 10. You have a lot of different formats. There's something for everybody. A base paper rookie card from flagship Topps should be like a little collector's item that kids can get excited about, that you can create an entire set of. It should not be the type of thing that you send off to PSA to try to make a bunch of money like people were doing in 2020, and that's why we have so many, you know, Gavin Lux type cards and things like that, Kyle Lewis. I'll give a shout out to Striker Breaks, who always puts together really good videos about breaking down the pack odds by the different product offering, by the box type. So he kind of went through those. It looks like Mega Boxes, Hanger Boxes, and Fanatics Boxes have the best odds of several of the parallels. But obviously with Hobby and Jumbo, you're chasing autographs and you have exclusive parallels like the blacks, the clears, the gold foils. One thing I absolutely love, we've talked about this in the past this year, those team border color parallels. Mm-hmm. They're actually pretty hard to hit, appropriately hard. The golden image mirror variations, after a little bit of a scare that they might be getting rid of those, they have gold backs on them, which is really cool. The true photo borderless short prints. These are all really cool innovations to me. They're a chase. They're hard to hit, but not impossible. I just like overall what they've done. They've got redemptions for game tickets now and stuff. So I think Topps knocked it out of the park on this product.
Okay, so Teapot is not concerned at all, despite the fact that we're talking about a million base cards or upwards thereof being printed. Are you concerned, Carter?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all, especially on a flagship product like this. This is such a fun product every year. People make this an annual thing. This kicks off baseball season. This kicks off baseball cards, right? I mean, the Super Bowl just happened. We're baseball mode now. It's an exciting product. People love it. I'm not concerned about the print run. Obviously, I think the added parallels this year add to it. Obviously, we talked about last week, the blasters with the memorabilia cards, right? I think this product's exciting every year regardless. Now, I do think, you know, the concern for some people may be is, yeah, like these base rookies, like an Ellie De La Cruz base rookie is not going to be worth that much. We're past those times. We're not in 2020 where base cards are worth anything anymore. As Teapot said, they're just a good, fun collecting piece. If you pull a good, you know, one of these good rookies, be excited about it, right? But it's not one of those cards that are meant to be worth anything going forward.
Yeah, all of this makes a lot of sense to me, what you're saying. You know, collectors can't have it both ways. And it seems like people are unrealistic sometimes, where they don't want all the parallels and they don't want the really high print run numbers, yet they also want to go buy their hobby box of Top Series 1 for $85.
Yeah.
you can't really have it both ways, because if Topps limits the print runs, makes half the product, half the base cards, you know, half, it doesn't expand the parallel checklist and does all those things, then just due to supply and demand, you're gonna have your top series one boxes at $200, $300 or more for your hobby boxes, which is not what collectors want.
So that was Sapphire.
Yeah.
They shifted and made Sapphire actually a shorter print run now, more expensive, and I think that's smart. Mm-hmm. This is flagship. It should be printed to the
market. I agree. Flagship should be the product that's available everywhere. The base cards should not be that valuable, as you guys said. It should be fun to rip it and open it, and it should not break the bank. And you know, we're selling it here at Cards HQ for $85 a box, and I'm thankful that it's that price point, because I can afford to, you know, grab one or two off the shelf and take it home tonight and rip it with my kids, which we're going to be doing. And if it was, you know, $300 a box, I'd be a little more cautious about that type of thing. So I agree, you can't have it both ways. You got to pick one lane or the other. And I am, for that reason, I am not concerned with this product. I am not concerned about the print runs. You know, for other higher end type products, those are the ones where I want to see the print runs kept tame so that the cards can maintain value in the market. Okay, speaking of maintaining value, guys, PWCC has something crazy going on right now. They have over 600 or around 600 Michael Jordan cards for auction at this very moment. They got their weekly auction, which ends this Sunday, and they have their premier auction, which ends next Thursday. And they've got this Cajun cardboard hierarchy of Jordan cards. They've got cards from all the different tiers in these auctions, including one of my all-time favorites, the 1998 Topps Jordan. This is going to be a real live demonstration here.
Oh, great.
Because this is my shoe. The 1998, it's on my shoe, literally, the Jordan. And then my other shoe is the Kobe 1998 Topps. I love the card. It is in the weekly auction right now at pwccmarketplace.com. Carter, what card do you like?
I picked the 1997 Michael Jordan high voltage PSA 8. Such a sick card to me.
We'll get the area. We'll get the fan going. We'll clear out the room.
Rocket.
Teapot.
You know, I'm a sucker for those Fleer Tiffany's. 1997. Yep. There's a PSA 9 of Jordan. This is pop 280 across all the major three grading companies. Only 41 true gems, so a 9 is a really great grade on that card. It's a horizontal landscape card. I might try to find some Tiffany blue shoes or something to go along
with. Do it. Yeah. Get some Tiffany blue shoes. So anyway, all of these cards, 600 Jordan cards or thereabouts, PWCC Marketplace, go check it out right now. They're all up for auction before they are all gone. Okay, guys, let's dive into Data Dive for our next segment today. So this past weekend on the Market Movers channel, I actually did a video, Teapot, you were
out,
so I subbed in, and I did a video where I looked at the sports card market for the first 6 weeks thereabouts of the year, back to January 1st, to look at what the overall sports card market was doing, which, by the way, it's up around 4% since the start of the year, if you look at our SCI 500 index of 500 of the most prominent sports cards, and then I went sport by sport, and we looked at football and baseball and basketball and hockey and soccer and kind of looked at what may happen in the months ahead. I had some interesting observations. One was, you know, I was comparing data back to 2023. And what was interesting is football in 2023 didn't actually drop much after the season ended. It actually stayed pretty consistent. And then you got to the NFL draft in April, and things actually heated up in the football card market over the summer. So this may not be the moment to go out and sell all your football cards. It was actually during the season when we saw the biggest drop, and we might see that again this year. You got baseball around the corner. Baseball tends to heat up as you get towards the start of the season. Of course, basketball, you're barreling towards the playoffs here in the upcoming few months. So curious to get your opinion. What do you see kind of from here, and how should collectors approach the next few months of the sports card market? We'll start with you, T-Pop.
I have a theory on the football thing last year, and that's that you had the Chiefs and the Eagles. There was already a ton of hype built around Hurts during last year's season, and Mahomes had remained kind of flat, even down, and then he won the championship. A lot of the other players that people had hype and excitement behind obviously didn't win and didn't succeed. And I think there was so much money baked into those cards, they just sort of held. And then we saw a little bit of ramp up at the National. This year, we may have a similar phenomenon, although it was different because so many of the key players just did not pan out during this NFL season. We saw injuries galore. We saw Rodgers get hurt. We saw Herbert get hurt. We saw players going down. Anthony Richardson went down.
Yeah, T-Law was out for
Justin
a while.
Justin Fields week to week was, you know, what are we getting from this guy? Like, it was a lot of wacky stuff. Yeah. So I'm going to be really curious about those. Overall, we've seen this consistently over the last 3.5 years. There are ebbs and flows. I expect right now, I expect to see our sales volume numbers and market movers go down probably starting around the end of March. And they'll kind of ramp down, and then as we hit toward the national, they should uptick. That's sort of the cycle. The good news is, I think, you know, there's always buying and selling opportunities. And I'm a collector and speculator in multiple sports. So there's always a buying season for me. There's always a selling season. Our friend Paul Hickey would say no off season. So that's kind of how I operate, and I just look for those opportunities.
Yeah, no, good observations. What do you think, Carter?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot different than last year. And, you know, I would warn people, try not to time things the same way that you did last year, right? Be ready for when the market does go up, because it will. I think some guys are going to be really hot this offseason. I think Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love, I think Justin Fields potentially if he gets traded to a different team. Yeah. I think there's some names that we're going to have. I think there's some names where they're going to have a similar offseason than what we had last season with like Trevor Lawrence, right? I mean, his stuff was crazy after he won the playoff game against the Chargers, right? So I do think we're going to see a dip here in the short term, but I think the timing is going to be a little bit different. I think there's going to be a lot of hot guys though going into the early summer around the draft.
Yeah, and you know, there's another element to this as well. So I did a Jeff Wilson Show episode, came out last night with Dustin Sports Car Dad, and there was a whole new element of this we talked about. We talked about Drake May, and we talked about Caleb Williams, because you've got all of their Bowman first cards. You got Michael Penix Jr., you've got Daniels from LSU, right? You've got all of these quarterbacks who now already have cards, autograph cards, one-of-ones, you know, golds out of 50, all that kind of stuff that are available and on the market. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see how those move as well. In fact, I don't know, you might fall over in your chair when I say this, but I made the argument that you're better off at this very moment in time putting money in these Drake May Bowman U cards than you are buying Patrick Mahomes cards.
You might not be
at
wrong.
The moment. Yeah. At the moment. I'm not talking 5 or 10 years from now. I'm talking next 3 months, next 6 months, what are those cards going to do in the market?
Yeah, I would actually maybe agree with that. That ties in nicely to my data dive this coming Saturday. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll loop back around and see what your data dive is like this Saturday on the Market Movers YouTube channel. Speaking of things happening, guys, today is a big day here at Cards HQ specifically, because today begins our regular live selling, live auctions, and breaking hours on Whatnot. And in fact, I'm going to toss 2 QR codes up on your screen right now. If you scan these QR codes, you're going to find us live. You're going to find us live breaking, and you're going to find us live selling cards at just $1. It's a lot of fun on Whatnot. I'm going to be part of these streams today, so make sure to join us and check out the fun. Okay, guys, let's go to our first mailbag topic today. There was some big news in the sports card hobby this last week. PSA made a change with their labels. And specifically, PSA is actually almost kind of going back to the past, because PSA used to have it where if a card was autograph authenticated, but not actually authenticated as an actual card, not graded or authenticated as a card itself, it would get a blue label. And it would get a red label, which we're all used to seeing today, if the card was authenticated and if it had an autograph, if that autograph was authenticated as well. Well, then at some point in time along the way, they switched to just everything got a red label. All the labels were consistent, all the labels were the same. But that can confuse new collectors. And we've seen situations where people think they're buying a PSA 10 card, when in reality, it was a PSA 10 auto. The card itself was not graded. The card may not have even been authenticated. There's been some situations that have come up recently on social media where these things have been maybe used a little bit nefariously. PSA announces we're going back to blue labels for cards that are only getting autograph authentication and not getting graded. Carter, I'm going to start with you. Good thing, bad thing, necessary, unnecessary? Does this help? Does this add more confusion? What do you think?
It's amazing. I love it. It's that simple. I think I've been at card shows, and I've actually had some sad situations where people have walked up to me to sell me cards, and they think it's actually a graded card, an authenticated card, when it's not. So I think this is great. I think it's going to make a big difference for new collectors, which is the big deal, right? More people that are educated, they can tell the difference easier, right? But for new collectors and how many people are entering this space, I think this is a big difference, and I think it's very necessary, and I'm really happy PSA is doing this.
Yeah, good thoughts. What do you think, T-Bot?
I'd heard there were cases where fake cards,
yeah,
like reprints, mm-hmm, were being autoed.
Yep,
correct.
And then people, like you said, thought they were buying like a 1986 Fleer Jordan, yeah, autoed or something, and it wasn't.
It was a fake Jordan, yeah, but with a real autograph. Yeah. I mean, maybe not in the Jordan, right, case, but this, yeah, this is the case with, yeah, some other reprints, yeah, where it was a reprint, yeah, of, you know, right, 1991, right, 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 Frank Thomas, yeah, card, and you know, it had his real autograph on it, but it was not the, it was, yeah, a reprint of the card. Yeah. And, yeah, but it got, but it looks like it's a PSA, you know, graded card.
So it's smart. It's really smart to differentiate them. I can see that just from sort of a liability and an ethical perspective. They want to make sure people know what they're getting. It helps them stand out better. I don't love the blue color.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little odd, actually. Like red and blue are two very distinct, different colors. It looks like an ISA label. Mm-hmm. Like when I look at it, I'm like, oh, it's, that's an ISA graded card. Oh no, it's PSA.
Mm-hmm.
One letter off, blue label. So that to me was a little weird. I thought you could go into it like a maroon or a burgundy type color that makes it stand out better. But overall, I think this was just like something they had to do, and I'm glad they did it.
I'm going to say something controversial. I don't really like the red labels or the blue labels. I prefer a neutral color.
Yeah, I like
I mean, that said, I got tons of PSA graded stuff, you know, love PSA, but I would prefer it actually be a neutral color,
yeah,
label,
yeah,
rather than red or blue.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying there. Yeah, it's a good thing. It is confusing right now. You talked about how people have come up to try to sell you cards here at Cards HQ and they've been confused. Look, I have been close to getting confused on deals before where, you know, the way that the label, you know, reads out, it's Gem Mint 10. And I'm looking at the card, I'm like, that doesn't quite look like a 10. And then I'm like, oh, it's auto grade only. You know, and the auto grade only is in the lower left,
yeah,
and Gem Mint 10's over there on the right. And so I first, at a quick first glance, it's like, oh, that's a 10. And then it's like, wait, that's not a 10. Mm. Oh, it's only auto grade. Oh, okay. You know, but it's totally easy for people to miss that. So I think it is a smart move for the collectors overall. I'm glad they're doing it. Another move that I think is pretty savvy is our second mailbag topic of the day. Did you guys see what Topps did at Culture Collision? And maybe we can even roll a little, you know, clip of the social here over the screen as we're talking. But Topps, so we had the Culture Collision show in Atlanta. And, you know, I have a funny story from that show. There was a kid, I went to the show, there was a kid who ran up to me and he said, I met Michael Harris Jr. at the show. And I'm like, oh, Michael Harris Jr. is here? I'm like, that's really cool. He's like, yeah, he's dressed up like an old man. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, he's an old man.
It's like Kyrie Irving.
And I'm like, okay, kid. And I just like kind of brushed it off. Like I thought nothing of it and I continued on with my day. Well, then Topps releases recently on social a video showing them dressing Michael Harris Jr. up like an old man and to trick people and sending him in a Culture Collision. I thought this was brilliant, but I'm curious to get your guys' takes. Is this like the sign of amazing marketing that, you know, Topps and Fanatics is now doing, or is this kind of, you know, overblown, a little too tongue-in-cheek? Is this really growing the hobby? Carter, what do you think?
I love it. It gets players more involved in cards, period. I mean, he was walking around the show, trading, talking to vendors, talking to people walking around, asking people what they thought about Michael Harris. I thought it was great.
Yes.
It's fun conversations. It's fun. It's fun to watch. I think it's great. I think it's beyond marketing. I think it's just great to have those interactions.
Yeah.
So, and now, like, people, if they really couldn't tell it was Michael Harris and they saw that video, they're like, oh, crap, that's actually awesome. I talked to him, you know?
Right.
So I know some people noticed him and, you know, it was familiar to them, but it's exciting all around, I think. Hopefully they do more of it.
I like the take of getting athletes, you know, more involved with cards and that being a positive thing. We have definitely seen Topps and Fanatics lean into that heavily. In fact, you know, we've got Topps Rip Night coming up here at Cards HQ, as well as card shows all around the card shops all around the country on Saturday, February the 24th. And they have 19 different athletes that they have put within these card shops, including Cards HQ, that are going to be, you know, in some cases surprises, in some cases, announced ahead of time. But it's going to be a fun night for, you know, for a lot of people. And so it's cool that they're doing more stuff like that. I like that thought on it. Do you agree, T-Bot, or do you have a different take on this whole thing?
I always like undercover videos that Aaron Judge did that a few years ago where he actually just walked around and like talked to people when he first came into the league. And was like, what do you think of this guy? And people that didn't know it was him.
Was at their pro shop, right?
Imagine
right,
that.
Right,
it was right, like, right, he was yeah. like out in the park, in the pro shop. He did a bunch of stuff. So he's done that. I think J-Rod did something like that too. Jared Goff did a funny skit where he went as like a college quarterback for like a D3 school and was just throwing bombs down the field. I think that stuff's awesome. And after the fact, it does make people go, oh, that's really cool. Like, I didn't realize who I was talking to. Maybe I feel like an idiot if I, like, trash the player to his face or something. But overall, that type of stuff, you just couple this with public activations, undercover stuff that's cool, content and comedy, and then all the, like, private events, like the Wemby thing and everything. Like, they're covering all their bases, and they're doing something really cool to bring fans closer to the game, and I'm a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a neat activation for sure. Did you ever see that Ronaldo one? This, it had nothing to do with Topps or Fanatics. Yeah. It's an older one, but where Ronaldo, they really dressed him up, like, as, like, a you know, big heavy set guy.
I don't think I ever saw
and
that
he
one.
Went into some square in Spain, you know, and started, like, kicking the soccer ball around and doing all these tricks and everything
that
like that. And people were like, what the heck's going on? He asked some girl for their phone number, and the girl, like, totally blew him off, was like, get away from me type thing. It was pretty funny. It was pretty well done. I love that stuff. I hope we see more of it. I think the athlete crossover with sports cards is a wonderful thing. And I thought that was a pretty creative way to do it.
So
kudos on that.
Without anyone knowing.
Yeah, exactly. No one knew what was going on. So that was pretty awesome. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the show today. Check out those live streams we're doing on Whatnot right now, Cards HQ Shop and Cards HQ Breaks on Whatnot, and go check out that PWCC weekly auction, a premier auction with all the Jordans. Unbelievable stuff going on. And while you're at it, hit like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Take care.